Hey there, I'm Hannah Liz, a coastal living, Jesus loving NC native, and you're listening to the Living Freed podcast. This podcast is for the girlies who feel weighed down by the chains of the world or the chains of the legalism in their church, who want to walk free in the life they know God created for them, who want to heal their hurt and heartbreak, is into self-growth, wants to deepen her relationship with Jesus and build community. Today, we're going to be talking about pride versus confidence. Oh gosh, guys, pride has been such an issue in my heart literally since I was a little kid. When I was younger, it physically hurt me to apologize, like pulling teeth to admit that I was wrong. I would do pretty much anything to appear as my best, and I'd avoid not looking good any chance I could, just like everybody else. But genuinely, like, if it hurt my pride or how I appeared, I just wouldn't do it. Like, if I wasn't gonna win the race, I wasn't gonna run the race, you know what I mean? It wasn't for me. That's all I'm gonna say. Apologizing, anything that made me look bad, any correction, it wasn't for me as a kid. Now, I will say though, even though I wouldn't do anything I knew I would lose at, or I would avoid apologizing at all costs, I did love to be the center of attention. I loved to put on a show and be at the front. I remember one time we lived in a house that had a basement, and I locked my siblings in a closet in the basement while I stood in front of the door holding it closed with my body because it was my turn to perform for my parents. There's actually a whole video of me, like, I think I had to be like 5 or 6, shoving my body against this door while my two younger siblings are doing their best to fight to get out of it. And I'm just standing there like singing a song about Jesus. But hey, listen, they had their turn. They were the opening act. I was the closing act. I waited my turn, and now it was my time to shine and end the show with a bang, okay? So did I really need to keep them locked in the closet? No. But I had waited in the closet, so it was their turn to wait in the closet while I, you know, gave the performance of my life. I really did love being the center of attention, though. Like, anything. Like, it could be a play. It could be for my dance team. I wanted all the eyes on me. You put me at the front row, I was there. I was ready to lead. I was ready to show everyone the dance moves. I was ready to perform any line. And if I missed a line or step, well, you wouldn't be able to tell me. Because me, miss a line or step, not even possible. As a kid, though, people would tell my mom how prideful I was, like my teachers, my friends' parents. I remember my mom telling me this, and at first I was really upset, but then I also got really embarrassed. My mom did her absolute best, though, as I got older to really help me with it, and I appreciate that. She put in, like, the actual hard work as a parent. And I eventually, like, started to be really quick to apologize whether I was wrong or wasn't wrong. I made sure I wasn't at the front of the stage anymore. I took a back seat. I was careful with my words around adults. I stopped dressing like I needed to be the center of attention, like I was on a fashion show. And I learned to take criticism well. As I got older, eventually I turned it into feedback. You know, it happens with maturity. Was it an easy process? No. I would say for anything that I felt prideful about, it definitely got beaten out of me. Not physically, I kind of did it to myself. Like, say I was prideful about one thing, I'd bring up two things to myself that I was insecure about to prove that I wasn't all that in a bag of chips. Because I spent the majority of my childhood thinking I was all that in a bag of chips. I do remember, though, I got to a point where there was pretty much nothing left of me that felt that way about myself. I did cheer when I was, you know, in my tweens to my teens. I remember it was my first season as a cheerleader, and my coach came up to me and told me she wanted me to be the head cheerleader. And I asked her if she was sure, because I definitely was not sure about myself at this point. I remember I was trying to be at the bottom of the pyramid. I was trying to be in the back of the group. And the problem with that is I had gotten rid of all my pride, but I also got rid of all of my confidence as a kid. And it led to a long season in my life where I kind of just stopped speaking up for myself. I stopped standing up for others, much less standing up for myself. And I was always worried about what others thought of me. especially adults. Like every time I wore something that was just outside of the normal for our inner circle, I questioned it. If I was going to speak up on a subject that I was really passionate about, I just chose not to because I second-guessed myself. I really second-guessed everything about myself as a person, even in private. Like I would question myself on any choice that I made as I got into my teens because I just had lost any certainty that I had had for myself. It took me years to learn to rebuild my confidence and in my mind keep my pride at bay because it felt like it was going to be a never-ending struggle that I was going to have to deal with. I became very aware that I wasn't confident anymore, so I wanted to build it up, but I also knew I couldn't let my pride get the best of me because I didn't want to have adults or my, honestly, yeah, adults. I didn't want to have adults speak about me in that way anymore. It became a big insecurity of mine, and I didn't want to embarrass my family, like my parents, or myself in that way as I got older because I've met really prideful adults as a kid, aka my dad, and I was embarrassed about it. So I just knew I did not want to be that way when I became a grown up. In my early 20s, though, a different conversation was being had. Something new had been spoken into me. And one of those conversations was had in one of my monthly meetings with my boss. We would typically go over our numbers and our goals, and he mentioned to me one time that I was one of the most humble people he knew. And I didn't know what to think about that because I had been telling myself at this point in my life the opposite for so long. And I really sat and pondered it because I valued his opinion so much. I felt like he really saw me up until that point, and I couldn't figure out why he thought I was humble when my whole life, I had told myself differently and I'd been told differently by others. So I ended up going home that day. I remember this very vividly. I ended up going home one day and I told my roommate who worked with me at the salon and she laughed. Like she actually laughed and said, "Well, that's just not true. You are one of the most prideful people I know, like truly." And I was not, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of butthurt because I was kind of proud of myself. I was like, wow, like I have made strides. Like I'm no longer a prideful person. People don't see me as a prideful person. And I was really excited that I felt like I'd beat that side of me, beat that problem that I had had. And to be told that actually I was one of the most prideful people someone knew really hurt. It really, really hurt. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like I need to fix this. So I sat on it for a long time because when people tell me things about myself, I really take it to heart and I want to work on those things. So I dwelled and thought on it for days and weeks and months, and I'd have conversations about it with my friends. And I remember one time I was at one of my favorite coffee shops in my hometown. It was basically my second home during my ever-going, never-ending coffee addiction. And I brought this topic up to one of my closest guy friends at the time. We had unspoken weekly coffee dates where we would talk about his school problems and all of my problems in general. He was one of those friends that would give me the hard truths, and a few of my girlfriends would even ask me why I was friends with him because his hard truths were just that. They were hard, but I really valued his opinion. I was not ever into him in that way. I never saw him in a romantic way, but I knew he had a lot of qualities that I admired. And I wanted to end up with someone who had similar qualities to him. So I listened to what he would say in hopes to grow into a person that someone with his character would want or look for, if that makes sense. As we sipped our coffee and I asked where he saw pride in my life show up, he looked me straight in the eyes. And I remember like a deep breath and being ready to take the punch. I remember mentally, emotionally, and physically like preparing myself for what he was gonna say so that I could, you know, write it down on my heart and be ready to work on it so that I could be the best version of myself. And as he looked me in the eyes and there was a moment of silence between us, he took a breath and he said, "Hannah Drain, you are not prideful. You're one of the most humble girls I know. People mistake your confidence for pride." And y'all, that's when my view shifted because I learned something. Confidence looks like arrogance to unconfident people. Webster's Dictionary defines confidence as the quality or state of being certain, while Webster's Dictionary describes the word pride as the quality or state of being proud, exaggerated self-esteem, ostentatious, or a showy display. I think it's pretty plain and simple. Pride's definition has so much more to say about itself, and it reminds me of the world around me. Always trying to prove something, but confidence doesn't have to prove a thing, and it doesn't feel the need to. Today, we see a lot of pride, self-centeredness, and arrogance. I scroll TikTok and Instagram a lot. Not as much as I used to, but definitely still way too much. And I see a lot of posts of how great others are, or bragging about what they have or have done. Often I don't give it a second thought. Mostly I just, heart it and move on with my day. But I started to see it in a lot of conversations too. You know, it's one of those things like if you're shopping for a red car, you see them all over the road. When something kind of sits in your heart or in your head, you start to see it everywhere. I started to hear so much about, I did this, I said that, I bought this. Insert whatever you want because we've all been in a conversation like that. You're telling someone about a trip you took or a new restaurant you checked out, and they find a way to make the conversation about them. I'll never forget this. I was in a convo with a girl I was meeting for the first time. She was a friend of a friend, and we were just minutes into meeting when she started telling me the most crazy friend story I've ever heard. Mind you, brand new to Wilmington, my friend tempted me to the beach. She said, "Let's go take cute photos. It's one of the prettiest days we've had all winter." And I was really trying to make friends with this girl. So I was like, "Yes, I'll be there. Let's show up." So I put on my cute beachy outfit. She told me this friend was coming. And oh boy, did this friend show up. She instantly started telling us how she slept with the guy her roommate asked her to stay away from because her roommate had had a crush on him. Well, this girl went out drinking with him and a group of other friends and brought him home and slept with him. And the roommate found out the next day when she woke up and he was leaving her house. That girl was saying, so the girl with us is telling me how her roommate had confronted her about it, but she told her roommate that all they did was sleep. They did not do the deed. But the roommate found out from the guy that her friend had lied. This girl continued to tell me how she couldn't understand how her roommate didn't want to be around her anymore because she didn't do anything wrong. It's not like her roommate was dating the guy. I was so shocked by her lack of awareness or accountability, whatever you want to call it. Y'all, I didn't even try to correct this girl because she didn't know girl code, or at the very least, how to be a good friend and put her own desires first over the heart of a friend. Trust me, there was no enlightening her on this one. The last time I really remember struggling with my pride was when I called off my engagement. I was so freaking worried about what everyone would think if they found out why we broke up. I was encouraged by my family and friends and pastors to tell others bluntly the truth, but instead I spent months avoiding answers and left all outside my close circle in the dark. But it really shot me in the foot. People started to think I did something wrong, that I had messed up, and that's why it got called off. All because I was too embarrassed to say he chose to pursue a relationship with another woman while we were engaged, embarrassed to possibly give anyone the idea that I wasn't enough for him. Or that I was dumb enough to get played in that way. Man, my pride really got me there. You know, pride is what got us here in the first place, separated from God. Adam and Eve, being convinced that God was holding out on them, Satan in his pride wanted to be worshiped like God, and then he had to go and introduce the feeling of pride to Adam and Eve. Satan even tried to test Jesus with pride, but obviously he failed. Like, what a loser to try and test God's confidence and test his pride, the all-knowing creator of you, me, and Satan. That's hilarious. God has actual words to say about pride. In 1 Samuel 16:7, we see him say to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." In Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before the fall." Then in Psalms 10:4, "In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." Basically, pride hardens your heart towards God, and I don't think that's a space I want to live in. There are so many Bible verses and stories of how pride is so obviously negative to you, your health, and your walk with Jesus. Let's have a real talk about how pride might show up in our lives. Pride is a heart problem and a head problem. It holds us back from living. I wish I could count on one hand the amount of times I avoided telling a whole story just to save face, but unfortunately, I cannot. Pride is what we place value in about ourselves. Some of us might be how we look. We might take pride in compare ourselves to others based on our bodies, clothes, face, or hair. Think to ourselves, thank God I don't look like that. Pride can cause us to lash out. It makes us want to be recognized, the need to prove something, that we are too good for serving others or small jobs. Or if you're Haman in the book of Esther, it can get you killed because you don't see your heart clearly and you want too much that actually is not yours. I have friends that judge others for how long they've been single and say, clearly something is wrong with them, when me, Hannah Liz, their very chronically single friend, is sitting right there next to them. So clearly they take pride in being in a relationship. And now I'm wondering if they think I'm weird for being single. You might be holding back for fear of sharing or showing a weak emotion, so you take pride in being strong. I know I used to. I would never cry in front of people. I was the strong sister, the cold sister, because I didn't let things bother me or hurt me. I had my emotions in check. The first few times I did finally break in front of people, I felt so weak and would curse myself about it later on. But now I cry what feels like all the time. And I don't care anymore if people have any thoughts or feelings about it. Ben Stort says, pride is not a yearning for what you don't have. It's arrogance about what you do have. So maybe you're a braggart. You talk about where you're traveling to next, what new car you're going to get, the newest designer bag you just bought. And don't get me wrong, I love to talk about those things, but it's about where your heart is. Are you talking about it to make yourself feel cooler or better in the conversation with the person you're talking to? Or are you sharing it out of true joy and excitement? I mean, it's fun to talk about those things, but if you're talking about it to make a point or make yourself feel some type of way, then you need to take a closer look at that. I have friends that are prideful about their Christianity. It's, oh, I serve in church, but I also know the pastor of this mega church, and he's gave me this XYZ compliment. And don't you think he's right? And oh boy, when that friend gets convicted about something, all of a sudden it's everyone else's problem too. And they should really consider working on that because Sally stopped doing it or started doing whatever the hell it is, and everyone should too. It really would help with their relationship and their life with Jesus. I'll be so real, that friendship keeps my pride in freaking check. Like regularly, I have to check my heart posture after talking with that friend. Whenever I find myself getting annoyed or judging how they're judging others, I know the irony. Or telling people how to live, I take a moment, I pray over my heart, and sometimes send a quick text to my bestie to be praying over my heart as well, before I let my thoughts spiral about whatever the latest thing they said or did. And sometimes, if it's in text, I have to just put my phone down and walk away while I take a couple deep breaths. Oh my gosh, I also, y'all, I knew this guy who was like fake humble. I mean, truly fake humble. He would walk around all sad, like freaking Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, and could never take a compliment. You would tell him, like, oh, you did a really good job on that. And he'd be like, oh, thanks. You know, it was all really Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. But then behind closed doors, he would brag about how humble he was, like, actually brag about his humility. OMG, it drove me nuts. As soon as I saw through the BS, which I'm not gonna lie, it took me a while to see through the BS. But once I did, oh, I couldn't even stand to look at him. It's like, you know, when you get the ick, I got the ick. Okay, but the Bible has a lot to say about confidence too, though, but it all leads to the same place. In Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 6, it says, "So do not throw away your confidence, it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Basically saying, living righteously will bring boldness, which will have us naturally live confident. You know who was known by God, by name, for living righteously? That led to his boldness and his confidence, not just in his God, but in his own character as well? Job. Job knew himself and his actions and his heart stance so well and was so confident in it that when his friends, his closest besties, told him he clearly did something wrong and sinful in God's eyes, and that's why he was being punished, he was able to say to himself and his friends how wrong they were. Like, gosh, think how powerful that is. Psalm 139, 13 through 14 says, "You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well." So you're telling me I get to just walk around this earth knowing God formed me, knitted me together, heart, soul, and body. And you want us to go walking around instead in pride that is a false confidence and a true insecurity, trying to make myself feel better than others, smarter than others, worth more than others? To what purpose and what end? Instead, we're going to continue to walk around this earth knowing we were formed, thought of, and knitted together by confidence, and with confidence, knowing we have nothing to prove to anyone around us and loved by our Father. Now, you don't become confident overnight. I certainly did not. It took years of personal work. Think about David from the Bible. He didn't just face Goliath before facing lions and bears, and low key, probably the torment of his brothers. Let's be so for real. Anyone who has a brother knows what I'm talking about. Those boys are next level. I mean, I cannot tell you the amount of times I was held down while one dangled a loogie over my face. If you know what I'm talking about, you know my pain, okay? One time, I was quote unquote asleep in my room, and my brothers went outside the house to make animal noises, scratching on the walls to make me think a giant animal was outside trying to get in and get me. Crazy. Oh my gosh. And another time, actually, my brother got in so much trouble, but another time, we had this attic door that would open up by itself because of, I don't know, circulation and pressure, depending on the time of season. And he told me that a ghost was coming to get me. I happened to be 12. And in that moment, he did ask me how old I was. And when I said 12, he goes, "That's terrible. This ghost only goes after 12-year-olds. That's why we keep moving. Mom and dad have been trying to protect you guys, but it's here now and it's too late." Needless to say, I did not sleep that night, and my parents definitely made him sleep with me until I got past my fear of the fake ghost. Okay, sorry, not to get too sidetracked. Anyways, you have to take on small battles within yourself. Fight and change your mind trash. Maybe it's comparing yourself to others or speaking harshly to yourself. Ask yourself why, process your why, and then find a healthy way to reframe that thought. From thoughts, then start to speak it out loud over yourself. Because words are powerful. God will give you confidence when we don't rely on our own personal strengths. Put our values and our strengths are what people think of us. When we have confidence, we are not scared of new challenges because we don't hold our value or compare it to one or anything. We will lose the fear of losing it. I want you to take some time this week and do some inward reflecting. Look at where your pride is. Where are you placing it? Or what is it? Then find out the why. And let's hold it captive. Meditate on it. Find scripture to read over it. Journal about it. Or write on it. You can write it down and then tear that paper so we can tear the chains of pride that are holding us down and work on our confidence. If you have a trusted best friend, then let them know the challenge you're taking on. Someone you trust to know your fears. Someone you trust to point out your pride if you can't see it in yourself. Someone you trust to speak confidence and boldness into you. For example, Queen Esther wasn't bold or confident or even a queen overnight. She had Mordecai speaking truth and boldness into her. He also called her out and told her reality, and I think you need someone you trust to do the same for you. So, what does confidence look like? For me, it was learning to be bold in my truth. I was and have always been honest with who I am. I've always shown up the same for the most part from my core. Obviously, things used to shape or shift from group to group when I was younger, but my core of who I am stayed the same. But I've learned to be bold with my truths and with myself. I don't hide anything from my peers in fear of their opinion or judgment, to think I'm of less value, because my value isn't found in that anymore. I can't be pulled down by others' thoughts of me because my value is found in my character and who God called me to be. As long as I'm aligned with that, then there is where I'll find my confidence. I don't avoid truths anymore. I speak truths, no matter how it might affect someone's opinion of me. If someone makes me second guess or doubt myself, I take a beat to dive deeper as to why. I process it now, and depending on the outcome, I'll either proceed or change course, whether I'm comfortable or not, because I have to be uncomfortable to grow. When you find your pride, find your why to your pride. Break the chains of your pride by finding the character value God has knitted into you. And let's take small steps up and into your confidence. Y'all, let's be so honest. Isn't it so much more fun to be around a confident girly than an insecure one parading around with pride as a false confidence? Have you ever been in a bar bathroom, if you're old enough, and you have that pretty girl looking at you sideways in the mirror, giving you that up and down look? You know the look I'm talking about, and instantly you wonder if something is wrong with your makeup, maybe your lipstick's on your teeth, possibly your outfit actually doesn't look good on you, or as good on you as you thought, or maybe the toilet paper followed you out from the stall and you didn't notice. So you check under your shoe and there's nothing there. And you're thinking, what is up with this girl? Why is she looking at me like that? And then you have the other girl, the girl who lights up when she makes eye contact with you when she walks in, instantly tells you how good you look or that she'd die for your shoes. And y'all end up spending an extra 20 minutes in the bathroom fixing each other's makeup or talking about your exes. And it's decided that you both were way too good for them in the first place. The girls that walk around with pride treat doing life with you as a competition. You never really feel like they have your back, actually mean their compliments, or produce any fruit in your friendship. First is the confident ones are always in your corner lifting each other up, have you feeling loved and cheered on, excited for new challenges, and ready to take on the world. Which girl do you want to be? Which girl are you? How are you showing up? How do you want to be showing up? And how are you getting there? I once heard it said, and I can't remember by who, but I wrote it down in one of my little side tabs in my Bible next to 1 John. And it said, a change of head can have a change of heart, and a change of heart will have a change of action. So how do we become confident? Well, let's start with our head. Let's change your head. And eventually, you'll change your heart. And when you change your heart, it will show up through your actions. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for anyone who's listening to this. I ask that you set them free from their pride. Whatever pride is holding them down, from whatever pride is allowing them to live freely in you and their confidence in you. Wherever they're placing their value, wherever their insecurities might be sitting, ask that you free them of it. Show it to them. Have them become familiar with it, but have them release it and live for you. Live their life for you and be a light in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for listening to the Living Free podcast. Let's get connected on Instagram at Hannah Liz D or email me at livingfreedpod@gmail.com. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. And if you have any feedback or a subject you'd like me to cover, please email or DM me on Instagram. And again, I want you to remember, confidence can look like arrogance to unconfident people. So be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you feel encouraged, lighter, and more confident today. Bye, y'all.